So did you notice in that song, the song was, I just want to be where you are. Just want to be in your presence. Does anybody want to just be where Jesus is and in his presence? Anybody here? Anybody be willing to admit that publicly? Yeah. Okay, good. When you get there, though, would you like to have a life that's ready and fit or fits that spot where he is? So like you're congruent with what's going on around him. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you get into his presence, would you like your life to fit into whatever he's doing? Yeah. So by the way, that's what Christian formation or Christian maturity is about. Not just getting older, but actually developing a life fit for the kingdom. By the way, I've said this in the past, but I'm going to say it again just so make sure you know this, that a life fit for the kingdom is also an appropriate translation of the Greek zoe aeonos, which is often translated eternal life. It's a figure of speech, not just life unending, but a life appropriate for the kingdom of God. So when you get there, you'd like a life to be appropriate. Well, that's kind of where we're at in the book of Romans right now. It's just appropriate. We've been talking about, right, we started Romans 12 two sermons ago with me. I think it was two ago. And we talked about now no longer offering sacrifices of animals or something like that, but your life as a sacrifice. And then last week it was, how do you live within this group of people who all have different functions, and we let each other have those functions because we need everybody to have those functions. This morning, how do you live yourself? This is, I almost want to say, this is the closest thing to a checkbox list that Paul gives us to how to live in the kingdom. Now, I don't want to go so far as to say that it is a box that you can just check off these things and do them, because they're way more difficult than that. But this is how you live with yourself in a body. Are you ready? Romans 12:9. That is page 1750 in your Bible. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong and hold tight to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard to serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them, always eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. By the way, if you start to think you know it all, you're pretty sure that everybody else is ordinary people and you're not. That's how that works. Never pay back evil with more evil. Don't do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable, or do things in such a way that everybody can see you are honorable. Do all that you can do to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. I don't think that's the proper motivation to do good. I think that's just what happens. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Well, that's quite a list, isn't it? And I've long been sort of happy to say, what's the difference between pretending to be friendly and actually being friendly? Have you heard me say this? What's the difference between being friendly and pretending? Nothing until you stop pretending. Once you stop pretending, there's a difference, right? But that's not the way it is with love. Actually, you can pretend to love somebody and not actually get there yet. But that's not what this is. This says actually care for them. Now, how do we do that? Remember last week, I revisited an example of what I've said is that if we have thoughts for very long and we think about our thoughts for very long, we'll start to have actions based on those thoughts. Most often, those thoughts start as words because, by the way, when your tongue starts moving, that's an action. And so you have thoughts and actions, and then if you had to do those actions long enough, you get habits. And if you do those habits long enough, you get a character trait or a character. And if you live that character long enough, you've got a destination or a destiny. And remember last week I said very specifically, God comes in and asks you for the ticket to your destination and you show it to him and he says, oh, you're not going to like that one. And he gives you a new ticket to a new destination or a new destiny. Is that how salvation works? Remember that when you come to faith, it's less about your action and more about God declaring that you are his. He names you as his, and that naming makes you his. It's a declaratory statement, not a reward for your actions. You are his. Can you say something with me for a second? I am his. I am his. He is mine. I am his and he is mine. So now in this illustration, you've got this brand new destination, but you have the same character. Isn't that how that works? You have the exact same character you had when you had that previous destination. And that previous destination was the just reward for that character. But God's work and his spirit in you, just as one Christian and one amount of faith starts to work its way through the whole batch, that's the yeast illustration from Jesus, so does God's Spirit start like yeast to work through you, your whole batch. And it kind of works backwards. Have you ever noticed? This is just reality for me, and I just want to explain how we know this happens. You're going along doing things the way you always have, and suddenly you start thinking to yourself, wow, that's not very nice. I should probably not do that anymore. Has that ever happened to you? Here, I'll just raise my hand. That's me. God's Spirit is working through the batch backwards. He's changed your destination, and now he's working on your character. That's what that is. And then when he changes enough of those, the actual habits, right, when your thoughts start to change and your character starts to change, then your habits start to change, and you become a different person. You actually don't pretend to love each other. You just really love them. This is alignment. This is eternal life, a life appropriate for the kingdom of God that you've been moved into. This is how this happens. It's not something that you do. It's something you do with God, who is most assuredly in charge of the project. Now, I know that God's in charge of my project because it never happens in the order that I would choose it. And it doesn't happen, God's in charge of your project and I'm not in charge of your project because, by the way, the changes in you don't happen on my priority list either. They happen on God's priority list. Have you noticed that? That maybe it isn't the place that you thought you wanted to work on that you really start working on. It's because you're working on God's priority list and you're working on his methodology that, you know, that they call us Methodists because John Wesley had a method. God has a method too. This is the first one. Step one in God's method, actually love. actually love. Don't use, right? People are not how many bricks they can make. That's the lesson from Egypt, isn't it? No, we need bricks. We'll have them make bricks. But God says, no, they're mine. Number two, see your spot in the Lord with gratitude as a gift. That's what it says here. Okay, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honor each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in your confident hope. Why do you have a confident hope? Because he's doing stuff in you and you can clearly tell. Is it comfortable to have God do stuff in you? Honestly, not very often. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Comfortable? Maybe not. But here's what happens when you're going through one of those moments when God's asking you to change in a way that you don't want to change and you're going through trouble. He says, be patient and keep on praying. Do you see how that's on topic here? Okay, here's the next one. Number three, be available to others the way God was available to you. That's funny, isn't it? You think I'm making that up? He says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Now, I feel very sad about this one this morning because I know somebody came here and he's visiting, and I thought about offering him a place to stay this weekend as he visited, and I couldn't because my wife was sick and I didn't really think he wanted to be around her coughing and hacking and things like that. But I didn't practice hospitality, and I thought, oh, I blew that. Maybe God's going to work on me a little bit. I'm going to be ready. Now, on the flip side about this, I'm going to tell a little story. You know, Ken and I went to go visit a guy that I have been working at length with in the benevolence side of my job. And I hadn't actually seen him in a couple of years. I think Ken had seen him more recently than I had, but he came into the Monday meal the other day and he asked if he could get some help with a couple of issues. And one of them's with his health insurance, which I just need to admit straight up, I'm not the right person to help him. I need help with mine. I'm not going to be able to help somebody else with theirs. But I know some people, and so I've made an appointment with him. When we went out to drop off some stuff at his house the other day, he met me at the door with a card saying, thank you for the time. It's a completely new day. Do you understand what I mean by that? This was somebody that was a pretty tough nut in our homeless community for quite some time. Here he is writing thank yous. And by the way, when we were at his house, he was trying to make sure that we had water if we wanted one or a place to sit. He was trying to take care of it. It's a brand new day. You don't know what your kindness might mean years later. You have no idea where your witness fits in the program. And by the way, if you blow it with somebody, and I learned this a long time ago by saying stupid stuff, then when you say stupid stuff, if you admit that you're wrong and ask for forgiveness for saying it, that might have been why God had you in the conversation to begin with. That person may never have heard somebody seek forgiveness for saying stupid stuff. You don't have any idea why you're in the story. So anyway, be available to others the way God was available for you or is available to you. Number four, you were blessed by God when you worked against him. Pray for that in others too. Now, do you understand what I mean by that? You were blessed when you were working against him. You weren't working on his team. You were working on your own team. That, by the way, is contrary to his plan. And he was blessed. And this is what he says, verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. Oh, that's the next one. Are you ready? That's the next one. When you're visiting somebody, change speeds to match their speed. it's way more merciful. If you're in there to visit somebody and they're having a hard time and you're going like I am right now at 4,000 miles an hour, that is not mercy to them. So change speed. This is what it says. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. That's right. You should be emotionally aware of the temperature of the room you're in and sort of adjust. Now, if that room is down and it shouldn't be, then sometimes God's going to call you to be the happy face in the room. That doesn't mean be dour and without life. It doesn't mean that. What it means is live in harmony and be as God calls you to be in the room. Okay, number six. This is the last one. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. You don't, and don't think you know it all. I want you to say this just in your head, okay? I don't know everything. I don't know everything. Is this just me? I'm not the only one that doesn't know everything. You know, that ship has sailed. They used to say that René Descartes was the last man to know everything. He's been dead a while. The amount of stuff to know is just beyond compare, and you ain't it. You're not Pliny the Younger making the first encyclopedia anymore. That's been done. And because you don't know everything, start to pay attention to the other people that might know some stuff you don't know, and maybe they don't know everything either. Patience. And here it comes back to this. Do you know why this is God's method? It's integrity. It's alignment. It's integrity and alignment with the people around him without coercion. And I want to say that very clearly. When you were against God, you may now look on it back and you may hear the stories about God's hounds, he's going to get you and all this stuff. Yeah, if you're going to be God and you can be convinced he's aware of how to do that and he's working on it, but you will not be coerced. This is the thing about God. He so honors you and who you are that he will not coerce you into salvation, mainly because he's after a love response, and you can't coerce love. You can coerce obedience, but not love. So he's not after obedience without love. He's after love. And so he overcame the evil of the world. And by the way, I want to recognize that there is such a thing as radical evil within the world. And that the world is good. It's both. But the way of the cross is to overcome evil with good. In other words, when they're taking him to the cross, he didn't then nail 17 of them to the cross. He didn't do the same thing they were doing to him. He overcame them. And because of that, we have life. So how do we make sure we do this? I want to make sure that we understand this. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. And if they're thirsty, give them something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame upon their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. That is from Proverbs 25. And you might have heard some people say, well, you know, I'd go to church, but it's full of hypocrites. You ever heard that? And my response is, well, sure, there's humans there, so there's hypocrites there, but why do the hypocrites at church bother you when the hypocrites at the grocery store don't seem to? Because they're everywhere. Because there's humans involved. But here it is. This is the reason why we need to be aligned. Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe. That's, you know, I'm reading the Bible here. Right? Let me just say that again. Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. putting confidence in an unreliable person in times of trouble is like chewing with a broken tooth or walking with a lame foot. Our calling is to be reliable and aligned with God's kingdom. That's what he's asked us to do. Come into alignment. Don't be unreliable in times of trouble. Be who you are then as now and any other time. Otherwise, you're like chewing on a broken tooth. And then it goes into other stuff, and it says, if your enemies are hungry, give them something to eat. And the burning the heaping coals upon their head is for them to recognize that they're treating you one way and their actions have not affected your goodness at all. This is one of the most profound things about working with the homeless population or working with some other population that maybe doesn't appreciate it, or working with your family, who can be the most difficult of all populations to work with. Well, they treat me bad, so I'm going to avoid them and I'm going to treat them bad. Yeah, and now you have let their behavior overcome your character. Working with food banks, they often will say, well, I came to start helping people with food, but they don't say thank you, and so maybe they don't deserve. Look, they weren't going to be able to say thank you anyway. The stress of their situation has removed their ability to say thank you, and so you're looking for something they cannot provide. But it wasn't the reason why you did it in the first place. You did it to be helpful. So just be helpful. Stop looking for the wrong response they can't give. Just be helpful. That's how that works. But if you let their bad behavior infect you, rather than letting your good behavior be a light to the nations or salt or maybe infect them backwards. So how do we do this? God's got a method and he asks you to join him. I am his and he is mine. I am his and he is mine. Are you on project with him? By the way, doesn't mean you know what's going to happen. It just means you're in the right spot. Let's pray. I think that's enough. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for the gift of life that you've given us. Help us come into alignment with your kingdom. And by the way, if that makes us slightly uncomfortable, help us just hold on to it, that you're at work and it's not our priority list, but yours. Help us be reliable. Help us have the reputation of reliability. Help us have a life appropriate for the kingdom of God. And to do that, we know you put your spirit in us. And so for that, we say thank you. Lead us, Lord. We are yours, and you are ours.